and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we're in the consideration of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. And we are on page 16. We're on page 17 of your notes. All right, let's take the customary time to remember that we have a liability as a believer in Jesus Christ, even if we are positive to Bible doctrine. Now, if we are not positive to Bible doctrine, well, you're dead in the water. You're not going anywhere. If you're positive, your liability is being out of fellowship and sitting here for an hour or so and not being able to be in sync with God the Holy Spirit. So let's take the usual time to make that adjustment if we need to. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you that our faith in Jesus Christ has overcome the world. And furthermore, we thank you that you have given us the roadmap for the events of the last days. This is our shining hope, and we are seeing and witnessing the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. Continue to be with us in this regard and bless our time together this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have a call to vigilance. We'll reread the two verses here. Verse 8. Be sober. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion. Lion, of course, being a very formidable predator. A very dangerous predator, the lion. He prowls about like a roaring lion, focusing. One of the things he does that will frighten people is, if you've ever heard it, the lion cutting loose and roaring. What's that relate to in our study? Under this metaphor, you have prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. All right? This is the attack these believers were under from their counterparts out there when Peter wrote this. There were those that were threatening them, coming up against them, and hoping to intimidate them, scare them, frighten them, so they would back away from their newfound faith. Let them run their mouths. Let them carry on. As far as we've been able to tell from all of this, their persecution was not state-sponsored, but it was simply people in their periphery, family, associates, and those things. What are we to do with this lion but resist him? Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Believers remote from them are going through the same kind of things. All right? In this regard, I think I changed my mind. Either way, it's not going to hurt anybody spiritually. Being firm in your faith with the definite article, I really think it refers to Bible doctrine in this instance. But I had it here in my notes as faith as we have in Hebrews 11, although references to these believers, by faith so-and-so accomplished so-and-so. The ones that found approval, the ones that are used as and illustrated in Hebrews chapter 11, starting with Abel and all the way through of Old Testament believers who excelled in their niches and are given credit. And so in Hebrews 11, it is clearly active faith. But here we do have the definite article, and the other way faith is used is for the content of Bible doctrine. It's a synonym for the truth. So, but we'll leave it like it is, but I think that with the definite article, he is, as I said in the exegesis, he is, stay firm in the faith. That's the doctrines you've learned. Don't let anybody intimidate you. They can run around and run their mouths, say what they want to say. If you are a person who is a believer who is in any way subjected to that. And you may be. Believers, point 56, are not to waver in their faith, the content of it, but to possess a rock-like faith in the presence of the roar of the satanic lion. And at any time, you can have a believer or believers that are under attack. I know one in particular in this church is under attack. If you want to know who it is, I'll tell you afterwards. Maybe more than one. But I know of one for sure that's under attack from another person. So you can pray for that person that they will stand firm in the face of this attack against them. That person is in my prayers constantly. We're not to give an inch to anyone. He was trying to induce us to abandon our hope or any doctrine that we have learned in Bible class. It's too precious. It isn't something that's negotiable. We don't cast these things aside like many have. And I've told you over and over again, I'm not budging on these doctrines, so you can forget it. It isn't going to happen. I'm going to walk in the truth regardless of what happens. God will take care of the rest. He always has. Look at how they all, in various degrees, hung Jesus out to dry. In spite of all the evidence. You know, it's to this day, the religious Jew who holds up and praises the Old Testament and has missed stuff completely. They know how to build a temple. They know how to build the stuff in the temple. They know how all the technical stuff about all the ritual and stuff, but they miss what it's all about. It's all about Jesus Christ, the Messiah who came. It's right there in black and white. So beyond a point with people, you don't have to go any further. You want to argue? Hit the road. I don't have time for it. If you have a question and are struggling with something or have some issue, I'll be glad to talk to you about it. But the best way to get it across is for you to hear it from this pulpit and then follow up by going over the doctrine. It takes a while. You know, we're different. It takes a while for certain things to click. I heard a good one today about the Democratic Convention. Hillary Clinton spoke. And she talked about breaking through that glass, the dome. She did. I didn't believe it at first. I'd heard it on a YouTube thing before a different audience. Can you imagine you're sitting out there? She lost her mind. What the hell is she talking about? Breaking through that glass. We're going to crack it, or we've cracked it, or something. Somebody said, I was told before, after I got up here, that it was sent over to me as a text message or an email, whatever. A text, I think, and it gives the audio of it. What exactly she said. And I'll give it to you for a price. No, I'm just kidding. Well, we tried it in the late 50s. We tried real hard. We took an armada of Navy ships out there and sent off rockets to shoot up there. In Operation Fishbowl. Isn't that a strange name for a military operation? But it isn't when you understand it. The rockets got up so high and they all just went haywire. Because there's some kind of a field up there. God knew, obviously, that man was going to develop these technologies. It's the same spirit that was in the people of Babel. We're going to ascend to heaven and overthrow God. Insanity. It doesn't end. That same spirit. You see it in some of these things we have on our bulletin board. And these buildings. You know, the one in France that's got this strange architecture of an incomplete building as one of the main headquarters of the EU, the European Union. You know, I told you that the UN flag has a flat Earth map on it. I looked at it all my life and it never computed. I got that same picture. I have a map of a flat Earth, but it has, but the laurel thing around it is symbolizes the wall around it. But I saw other things in the UN inside it, where they display the same thing. Now, why would they do that when they use the word global and globe all the time? The elite and these type of people, they know. NASA's a farce. It's no different than if you were taken back to the ancient world and had all these deities and all this mess going on, all this explanation for where things came from. But then we got into the, quote, enlightenment. And it wasn't an enlightenment. It was a departure from Scripture, but another form of departure from Scripture. The origin of the species. Where'd all living things and all things for that matter come from? So these series of theories came down. Why wouldn't they do it with the earth? They did. The lion, point 58, can be effectively resisted. This lion. Hence the imperative, resist him. 59, the aorist imperative of the verb occurs here and in James 4:7. Both references are used of resisting the devil. Now we're not talking about the devil like personally, but his agent or agents. They're his agents, so that's the devil. Operating through individuals and having them come up against believers. James adds the thought that Satan will flee from you. 61, when we use the spiritual weapons of our warfare, the satanic attack will be turned back, as was Jesus' experience in the series of three temptations that Satan personally threw against him at the outset of his ministry, right after his baptism. He used Scripture to overcome Satan's strategies. Just stick by your guns. Stick by the doctrine. Don't budge. If we stand our ground, Satan will give up the fight. He may come back at another time, but he'll give up the fight. They'll turn tail and walk. Courage will win the day against all his assaults. The verbal adjective steadfast is a military term. Paul uses the noun stereomai, steadfastness, firmness, solidarity, of the Colossian church's solidarity in the angelic conflict. Paul says, "For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order, toxis, and the stability of your faith in Christ." Our same word right here. True biblical Christianity is not a picnic. It's a spiritual warfare in which you should be ready at any time to stand firm if you come under attack. Oh, you go to that church. Yeah, I go to that church. So it teaches Bible doctrine, sound doctrine. And I'm not ashamed at all. And I'm going to keep going until the Lord returns, until I'm out of here. I'm not giving an inch. Do what you will. The term here, the Greek phalanx, was a body of heavily armed infantry formed in ranks and files, close and deep. The believer is to stand firm in his or her own faith, trusting in God for victory. There is a very important piece of information that will help bolster us in the day of temptation, which Peter sets before them in the final phrase of verse 9. The perfect participle, knowing, followed by the accusative, the same sufferings, and an infinitive, are experienced, is used of indirect discourse. It is a matter of knowing something is true that arms the believer with the moral support in the face of temptation, pressure, and antagonism. The participle knowing shares somewhat in the imperative character of what precedes it. In effect, Peter is saying, "Know this," as he introduces an important piece of information. The important information, very important in any presentation of the doctrine of suffering, is that believers facing slander and persecution in the Asian provinces are not alone. They are not alone. They're not out here by themselves. Now, they didn't have ways of communicating. They had to send couriers and people to communicate. So it was getting information from point A to point B took time. Even as this letter and the one to follow was hand-delivered by some trusted courier who had to overcome weather and other kinds of things out there. You couldn't text it over. You couldn't run it over in any other way. They didn't even have a printing press. So things were different back then. I'm glad we're here in that regards and for other reasons. But they got it done. God got this. So it's a matter of knowing something that arms the believer with a moral support in the face of temptation. The participle knowing shares somewhat in the imperative character of what precedes it. In effect, Peter is saying, know this, as he introduces an important piece of information. The important piece of information, point 74, very important in any presentation of the doctrine of suffering, is that believers facing slander and persecution in the Asian provinces are not alone. He was writing this letter from Rome, the capital city of the empire, in which there was a viable group of believers at the time of Peter and Paul. So these believers around the world, they're going through the same kind of things. He's saying, They're fighting the same fight. You're not alone out here. You've got others out there that are taking this seriously. Peter clearly affirms his solidarity. The solidarity of his own community of faith. In verse 13 is a cryptic reference to Rome. The Babylon in the Euphrates was nothing this time. Just an ancient ruin. Oh, some Bedouins lived in it. But there was no empire, any kind of a kingdom there. So he uses code. That's for tomorrow night. The use of the word Babylon in your Bible. The different Babylons. I'll shut up. We'll get to it then. You ought to know them already by now. For your information, there are four. Peter clearly affirms the solidarity of his own community of faith, where he was at, and that of the Christian brotherhood worldwide, with the distant congregations to which he writes. The phrase, the same experiences of suffering, refers to the fact that what the recipients were currently undergoing was mirrored by the universal brotherhood scattered throughout the cosmos, we would say at the time, the Roman world. But it obviously moved to all the nations. The term your brethren is literally your brotherhood. Used only here and in 2 Peter 2:17. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Bam, bam, bam. The king would be the highest ranking person in the political ladder. Do him the honor that he has as a position. Unbeliever, pagan that he was. Honor the king. God honors authority. And if authorities act up, then he'll deal with them. The affinity of being accomplished, to complete, accomplish, or finish something, perform a duty, erect a tabernacle, suggests a fixed amount of suffering, as in Colossians 1:24. Colossians 1:24 reads, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body. I do my share on behalf of his body. The church is the body of Christ. The analogy is, as the head suffered, so the body will suffer in various ways, which is the church in filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions. So for those of you who are suffering anything, minor or major, you're filling up the afflictions. Now, it is something that you can't, God will know when the final amount of sufferings in the body of Christ take place, then we're out of here. It's limited. And each of us makes our own contribution when we suffer for our faith and our love for God and His Word and the person of Jesus Christ. It's an honor. It's an honor to bear up under these things. I'm not going over the general doctrine of suffering, but even suffering that is brought on us by our own misdeeds can be turned to good with rebound. And because I have verses, blessed is the man whom the Lord disciplines. It bears the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Quit doing that. So you're not being hit over the head. The verb is used to accentuate the fact that the sufferings of Christ, the body, are not a matter of chance, but a necessary part of God's purposes before the end of the age. And we will be raised up to the same glory that Jesus was as he walked down his path of sufferings. We have an example in Jesus Christ of how to bear up. Obviously, what he went through was extreme. At the end of his life, he suffered throughout his career, but all that. The fact that others are suffering and have suffered, those that went before us, the same kind of things we are undergoing, is a great boost to our morale. That's what it's supposed to be. There's those, and I know, who have gone before us and did it right, and I want to be in their company. It's a boost to our morale in our corner of the kingdom and in our time and place on the timeline. Much is at stake. And we do not want to fall short when we all compare notes in phase three and we get acquainted with all these people. We are at the end of the dispensation. We are in this part of it, and therefore we need to just keep doing what we're doing and hang in there. We will be vindicated, validated, because we're holding fast to sound doctrine. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.